A young man from White Rock died this week. That young man was Carson Cannon, a student at Los Alamos High School, son of a family right here in White Rock. For those of you who know Dr. Reed Cannon, the dentist, it was his son. Carson was his son. A young man whose life was just beginning, whose life was full of promise. And I know that some of you knew that already. Maybe some of you are just hearing about it now. But whether you know it, knew about it or not, it happened. Carson's life, the life of a high school junior, came to a screeching halt just a few nights ago, right here in White Rock. For many people, it has been a hard, hard week, a heartbreaking and tragic week. In addition to Carson's death, I learned of a middle school student who is a friend of my son, John, who was cutting herself one evening this past week and who ended up calling 911 for herself. She's fine, but she was thinking about throwing herself out of the third-story window in their home. I have a friend who has a friend in her 40s who is divorced and has two young children, who has been fighting breast cancer and who this past week had a mastectomy to be followed by radiation treatments in a fight for her life. And those are just the hard things that I know about just from this past week. I suspect that many, if not all of you, could offer more hard things, whether from your own life or the lives of people close to you, or from the lives of those you know about, or certainly from the lives of people around the world. There are so many hard things. So many heartbreaking and tragic things. It can be overwhelming sometimes, can it? When we stop and think about all the pain and suffering and the hurt and the sadness, all of the hard things in our own lives and in the lives of so many. God, why is there so much pain? Don't we want to ask that question sometimes? Don't we, in fact, ask that question sometimes? I know I did a few nights ago as I lay in bed and I was praying this Advent prayer. And I don't know, some of you, I'm going to pass these around. They were here last week in the bulletin. Some of you may have them. If you don't, I invite you to take one. There is a morning prayer for Advent and an evening prayer. They're not particularly Advent-themed, but I offered them as a way for us to be in prayer together during this season of Advent. So I was praying the evening prayer, and there's a part that says, "Your hand, God's hand, was over me. It protected and preserved me." And I prayed that phrase that night, and I thought, but it wasn't over Carson. You didn't protect and preserve him. And then further along in the prayer, I prayed, "I commend to you those close to me." But then I thought, what if I commend them to you and they die anyway? What if I commend them to you and something heartbreaking and tragic still happens to them? Don't we all want to ask sometimes, haven't we all asked, why, God, are there so many hard and painful things in the world? Why does it have to be so hard and sometimes hurt so much to be human? One simple answer, I think, is that our world is broken. It's not as it was meant to be. We are broken. We are not as we were made to be. We are broken. Not just other people out there, although they are too. And not just the systems that are out there, although they are also. But not just people historically, or people in other places, or people that we don't like, or people who aren't like us, or people who do things that are bad and wrong. Although all of those people are also broken. But they are broken just like we are broken. And not broken in the sense of bad or sinful or evil, but just broken in the sense of not whole. Broken in the sense of not fully healed. Broken in the sense of not being who and how we were created to be. As good as we are, and we're pretty good, right? We are still people who are not fully who God made us to be. As hard as we try, and we try pretty hard, we are still people who are not fully whole. As diligently and as sincerely as we work at life and trying to get it right, we are still broken people. And there can be no wholeness within ourselves until we realize that. There can be no healing for the world unless we recognize that. We will not be able to fully become the people we were created to be if we do not first admit that. Can we do that? Will you do that? Will you do that with me this morning? In a little bit, I'm going to say, I am broken, again, by myself. And then I'm going to invite you to join me, because there is power in saying things out loud. My son, John, was called in to talk with the school counselor on Thursday because of what had happened, after he had learned about his friend and what had happened with her. He was called in just so the counselor could check in with him. It was the first time that had happened, first time he had talked with her, and I asked him how that felt. And at first he said, I don't know, it was fine, he's 13. But then after a minute he said, I guess it felt good just to say some of those things out loud. It often feels good to say things out loud. Sometimes when we say things out loud, it takes away some of their power. Things that maybe we're ashamed of or frightened of. There are other things, though, that when we say them out loud, they increase in power. Things that we know in our hearts to be true, for example, but that we haven't dared say out loud because acknowledging them will cause things that we're not sure we're ready for. Or there will be repercussions that we don't know if we have the strength to face. Sometimes it feels good to say things out loud because someone else then says, wow, yeah, me too. Or someone says, I had no idea you were going through that. That must be so hard. Let me walk with you. Sometimes when we say something out loud, it makes it more real. It gives us the courage to own it. It gives us the strength to say, yes, this is part of my story. Someone once said, very wisely, I thought, not everything we face can be changed, but nothing can be changed until we face it. And so this morning, in a moment, I'm going to give all of us an opportunity to face the fact that we are broken, to say it out loud. We all are broken. We are not whole, not fully healed, not living fully as the people God created us to be, because we've been hurt. We have secrets. We have lived life, and life is complicated. We just can't do it all like we would like to. We are broken, and as a result, our families are a little bit broken. Our church is a little bit broken, no more, no less than any other church, but not fully whole, because all of us, each of us, is broken. Our country is broken. Our world is broken. Hurting, damaged, suffering, broken. Broken beyond recognition? No. Broken beyond repair? Also no, but broken. not whole, not fully healed, not as we were created to be by our loving God, our God of abundance and fullness of life. As good as we are, as hard as we try, as diligently and as sincerely we work at life and trying to get life right, we're broken. We don't do the things that we want to do. Like Paul said, we do the things that we don't want to do. We say things that hurt others, sometimes, but not always, without even realizing it. We say things to ourselves that are not true, things that cause ourselves pain. We do things that hurt others and that hurt ourselves through our actions, our decisions, the things we buy, the things we eat, the cars that we drive, the thoughts that we think, the judgments that we make, the power that we hold, the control that we try to exert, the ways that we include some and exclude others. All of those things, much of the time, done without even being aware of it. We pretend that everything is fine. We pretend that we are fine. Sometimes we try hard to make other people, that's a little comic relief. We try hard to make other people believe it. Sometimes we try even harder to make ourselves believe it. Because it seems like everyone else is fine. What's wrong with me if I'm not? We can and we do pretend that we're fine. But sometimes it's harder to pretend that everything around us is fine, whether in our community or our country or our world. But sometimes we do manage to pretend, to tell ourselves that there's not much we can do about it, that we're only one person, that what we do doesn't really matter that much. My 15-year-old son, Ryan, when we talk about recycling or something, he said, it doesn't matter. It's just us. We're not doing that much. It doesn't matter if we don't do it. I said, that's the problem. As good as we are, as hard as we try, as diligently and sincerely as we work at life and trying to get life right, we are broken. Maybe it's time to admit it. Maybe it's time to realize it, to recognize it, and to admit it so that we can do something about it. So here we go. I will say it first, and then whoever among us, if you're willing, will have an opportunity to join me. I am broken. And now it's your turn, if you're willing, to say it with me. If you're not willing, you can think it. I am broken. Once more. I am broken. So why am I doing this? Why am I focusing on this when it's Christmas time? The season of joy and light and parties and cookies and Christmas trees and Christmas cards and Christmas shopping and Christmas carols. Why this heaviness? Why this focus on brokenness? Because really, at least here in the church, it's not Christmas yet. It's Advent. And Advent, in addition to a time of adventure, is a time of getting ready for Christmas. It's a time of getting ready for Christ. It's a time of getting ready for God to break into our lives and into the world in a new and unexpected way, with a message, yes, of joy and light, with a message of hope, with a message of healing and wholeness and fullness of being, with a message of God taking on flesh and living life among us and with us. It's a message of God's very self being present in the middle of all of this brokenness. But that newness, that joy and that light and that hope and healing and wholeness and presence, I don't think it really means that much to us unless and until we recognize the places where God feels more absent than present, the places where there's more darkness than light, more pain than joy, more despair than hope. I don't think God's healing and wholeness means as much to us as they could unless and until we acknowledge the brokenness in our own lives and in the world. And that's the invitation of John the Baptist in today's lesson. Repent, he suggested. Actually, I think he demanded, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. Look at your life. Look at your life and change. Turn away from the old ways and turn toward new ways. Recognize the old ways that don't work. Fear and despair and clutching and clinging. And turn toward new ways that lead toward trust and hope and sharing and giving. Because God is in your midst and is waiting to make you whole. Repent, he says. Look at your life and change. Turn away from old ways and turn toward new ways. Realize which old habits and patterns of thinking and doing keep you from wholeness, keep you separated from God, and turn toward new behaviors and new attitudes and new ways of being that move you toward healing, that move you closer to God, because God is in your midst and is waiting to make you whole. Repent, look at your lives and change. Turn away from old ways and turn toward new ways. Be truthful about your hurt and your pain and your brokenness and turn back to God because God is in your midst and is waiting to heal you. Turn back to God and return to the beautiful and beloved person that God made you to be. Turn back to God and discover or rediscover that person who no longer pretends, but who is true and genuine. Rediscover that self who is no longer broken, but is healed and whole. Turn back to God and rediscover, reclaim, return to a life that is more and more fully and authentically yours to live, a life that is marked by light in the midst of darkness, hope in the face of despair, joy in the presence of pain, and healing in the thick of brokenness, because God is in your midst and is waiting to make you whole. It all starts with acknowledging that what is not as it is meant to be. It all starts by recognizing what's not working. It all starts by admitting what's broken in us and realizing how that might be contributing to what's broken in the world around us. It all starts with owning our darkness and our pain, because when we do that, we will be ready to more truly and more deeply experience God's light and God's hope and God's joy. When we do that, we will be open to more fully accept God's healing. When we do that, we will be prepared to more humbly receive the gift of God's own self, present among us and within us. It all starts with John's invitation, or perhaps his demand, to repent. Because now, as then, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Did you hear that? The kingdom of God is at hand. Light and hope and joy and healing and justice and abundance and compassion and peace and wholeness. All of that is not only near, it's here, right now, among us, because God is in our midst and is waiting to make us and the world whole. I don't know about you, but I want to see the kingdom of God. I want to be a part of it, and I want it to be a part of me. In this season of Advent, in these days and times that are hard and tragic, I want to repent, to own my brokenness, so that I might be more open to being made whole. So that I might play a part in the healing of the world around me. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God, help us see it and be it. Amen.